Isaiah chapter 53 from verse 4. Let us stand up for it. Isaiah chapter 53 from verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Let us pray. Lord our God, In the whole Bible, there is not written one chapter which can be compared. Lord, here you dedicated a whole chapter to that what should happen on Calvary. Everywhere are verses and several prophecies, but here summarized, everything was said what should take place. Lord, we thank you that it took place, that it happened for me, for us, for all who come to you. You, O Lord, on the cross cried out, "It is finished." We thank you that you walked this sorrowful way. Lord, you have become like us, and you took our place. You became mortal according to the body, so that we can, according to the Spirit, become immortal. Faithful Lord, words are missing to us to express all this, what we feel about it. You said through Peter, your servant, not with gold and not with silver, but with the precious, holy blood of the Lamb, we were purchased. Beloved Lord, may it please you today, as the risen one, to come into our midst and to call out to us, "Peace be with you. I live, and ye shall live also." Faithful Lord, may these things which we read in your word become a divine reality in our lives. Dear Savior, we place this meeting consciously under the leading of your Holy Spirit, and likewise under the coverage of the blood of the Lamb. The enemy has lost every right in everyone whom you, O Lord, purchased on the cross of Calvary. May your blessing today at this place be manifested in all our brothers and sisters, wherever they will hear this service. Be nigh to us and bless us. Speak today with us in a way that we understand it, but even more than that, that we can believe it with all our hearts. For by faith we have the access to you. I thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. to receive praise, honor, glory, and worship. Thou art worthy, O Lord. With all my heart, I would like to welcome all of you, and together we wish us God's blessing. May He speak with us and reveal unto us through His word His will. This is what matters. Thousands of people, yes, millions, pray time and again, Thy will be done. And nevertheless, to them the will of God was not revealed to them. And this hurts when people think to serve God, but not knowing the will of God. And so today, on my flight from Düsseldorf to Frankfurt, I've seen a man who made the remark that he travels to Israel, and I asked him, "Are you a believer?" And he said, "Yes, since at least 50 years." He studied and was proud about his results. He was converted. He was a believer. He was born again. He was spirit baptized. He was everything what can exist. And then I asked him nevertheless, because it sounded a bit strange to me, "Dear brother, have you been baptized in a biblical way?" And then he says very proudly, "In January 1915, I was born, and in February, just 1 week later, I was baptized. And this is enough for me for eternity." And then he started. I said, "Beloved brother, the Lord has led it today in such a way that I have to make you aware of this today, that God has a way of obedience, a way of faith." And you can of course imagine how he then resisted with all what was in him. And in my heart was such a pain. I thought by myself, the few people who are ready to follow the Lord, they nevertheless go after the guidelines of churches and denominations and fellowships. And I had to tell him, "Dear brother, believe me, many have experienced a Baptist conversion, a Lutheran, a Methodist, a Pentecostal conversion. What God wants today are biblical, faith-like, divine conversions, which place people on the spot onto the way of God, with whom the Lord has not all this trouble." Now, He has also with us trouble. This I know, but with all our hearts, we want to walk on the way of faith and obedience. If then somebody says, the thief on the cross was also not baptized, and so forth. All this does not help us. I'm not the thief who hang there on the cross and who in the hour of death had no opportunity anymore for baptism. I belong to them who for years have heard the word of God, and therefore I have the opportunity to walk the way of the Lord. Then I have to extend greetings from our brothers from Krefeld and from many who were with us at Easter. We can say that several hundred people have been blessed richly. We had guests beginning from the north, from Finland, down and all surrounding countries, and we were very grateful that God in His mercy and grace has bent down to us, speaking to us, and that He blessed us. I hope all of you were also blessed during these days. Every time when a service takes place, maybe not every time, but very, very often, my thoughts then go to this place, into this country, at this place. And I say to the Lord, bless all who cannot participate. And nevertheless, we at this place have a privilege as many, many do not have it, right or not. That's how it is. So, we are grateful to God that we have His word and that we can believe and receive it. Today, we will touch briefly on that what belongs to Good Friday, to Easter, to the redemption which happened for us. With the help of the Lord, in the hope that God can lay the redemption work once again very deep into our hearts, that we not only know it by hearing and reading, but out of the personal experience. May the Lord give grace to it, that we make our experience with God. Here in the prophet Isaiah, we of course read that everything took place for our sakes. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. So, we can come to Him so that He can carry away the sickness which He carried already and the griefs which He has borne. These He wants to take, for He has taken them away already. Actually, death seeks only a cause to take us out from time into eternity. But one thing is certain, me and you, death cannot swallow up anymore. And I tell you also why. Because your and my Lord has swallowed up death. Right or not? So, if death has been swallowed up into victory, then death cannot swallow you up anymore. This we must have before our eyes and believe it with all our hearts. then even death loses its threat. Then it's just the transition into glory for you and for me. Keep this in mind. Death cannot swallow us anymore. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has swallowed up death. Death, where's your sting? Hell, where is your victory? Thanks be to our God, who has given us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how it is written in 1 Corinthians 15, even today. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. When John was on the Isle of Patmos, the Lord greeted him with the words, "Peace be with you," or "Fear not. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death." Our Lord has defeated the power of Satan. He has bruised the head of the serpent. That what came upon us through the fall, this was taken away from us on the cross of Calvary. And we see that our Lord, when he was in the Garden of Eden, in the spiritual body, he chased out Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, and he closed the door, and the rotating sword was at this door. When our Lord came into the flesh and died on the cross of Calvary, he spoke to the one who was crucified with him at the right side. "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Beloved, the redemption is a divine reality. Just as Jesus Christ is God manifested in the shape of a man, so sure all promises of God became yes and amen in him. In him the promise, in him is also the fulfillment. He has borne our sicknesses. He took upon himself our pain. He was wounded for your and for my sake. Our sin he carried away. The chastisement was laid upon him so that we might have peace. And by his stripes we are healed. Behind the "we," some could hide themselves. Say it today to the Lord. "My chastisement he has carried. For me he died. My sin, my sickness, everything what affected me, this he has taken away from me. And he laid all of it on himself. He went with it to the cross so that I, Ewald Frank, could have had peace with God. So that I could be redeemed. So that I could be pardoned. So that salvation could be given to me." Let us not make it a general thing today, but let us make it a very personal thing with God, our Lord. He redeemed me. He saved me. My and your guilt He has borne. For your and for my sin He atoned for. You and I, we may have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is an experience which we all must make with God. Here it is written, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an atonement for sin. German Bible. I would like to emphasize today the word atonement. And secondly, I would like to read here from Isaiah 53, verse 12, to make you understand what it is about. Therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. Poured out his soul unto death. In verse 11 it says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Two words. Two thoughts, atonement and righteousness. Let us go with these two words to Job, chapter 33. Job, chapter 33, from verse 23. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom, an atonement. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Here Job speaks prophetically of the advocate, of the mediator, who would give man back the righteousness through the atonement. And this is the great fact of the divine redemption through Jesus Christ our Lord. It wasn't just the promise to be redeemed. This existed throughout the Old Testament. It was not just about the promise to be pardoned, but about that through Calvary, all these prophecies and promises now became divine reality in your and in my life by His grace. Job had to walk difficult ways. He could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. But here, in this chapter, he speaks of an advocate, of a mediator, of one among a thousand who can testify of the righteousness and who intercedes for the people. It says here, then he is gracious unto him and says to God, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom, an atonement. This is the gospel already in the Old Testament. And in the moment when on the cross of Calvary, this divine, all-embracing, all of us, including reconciliation, took place. The mediator was there to give the people back the original righteousness which they had before the fall and to reconcile them with God. A great day of reconciliation, the greatest of all times, was on the cross of Calvary. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 19. God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. No one has redemption, no one has atonement and forgiveness unless he has found the mediator, the advocate, him in whom we have the reconciliation and the forgiveness personally. The plan of God is always bound to him as a person. I have said it on Wednesday at a funeral in Bavaria. If God had met mankind in a religious institution, then we could also meet him there. But there is no other place of encounter of God and mankind on earth than the encounter of God with mankind in Jesus Christ our Lord. He was God and man in one. After the Spirit, God, after the body, he was man. In him, the encounter of God with us took place. In him, your and my encounter with God takes place. When I recently sat down and was thinking to write a tract, this thought came to me. The way to God is the way of God to us. It's not a one-way road. The way of God to this earth is your and my way from this earth to God. And there's only one revelation of God, a personal revelation of God on earth. And this happened in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we want that all who want to be with God eternally, that they experience this reconciliation, this redemption, this divine atonement. It says here, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom, an atonement. And listen what is written in verse 25. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. he shall return to the days of his youth. You can all remember it, that Brother Branham was taken beyond the curtain of time, and he saw there his first wife and his little daughter, Sharon Rose. And she says, "On earth I was your Sharon, look at me." And he said, they were all around 17 or 18 years old. And here we just read, his flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. Not into the days of a child to be wrapped in swaddling cloths. At the rapture, at the changing, we shall be transferred back into the blooming of our youth. This is as true as God lives. And here we have it, black on white, in the Word of God. His flesh shall be fresher than a youth, not into senility, not into the age of a child, but into his youthfulness, so that he shall return to the days of his youth. For me, this word was a confirmation that Brother Branham said the truth. I believed it anyway, but it's always so good to me when I then find it confirmed in the Holy Scripture, right? Oh, when men of God say something and one finds it then in the Bible, and if you believe it or not, when I took the flight to Munich for the burial, I read some scriptures and I thought I need some scriptures which shall be used in the funeral speech. And suddenly I read it in the plane and I thought, is this right? And I read again and I read again. It's right. God gives us back the strength of our youth, transfers us back into the days of our youth. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. I assure you, in heaven, no one will walk on crutches. No one will be half blind or half deaf. No one will shake to and fro because of his senility. All of us, we will be perfect throughout all eternities, young, in a transfigured body. We shall be with the Lord at all times. Here, we read of the redemption, of the advocate, of him who says, deliver him. He is guilty, but deliver him. I have found a ransom for him. And when everything comes to the completion, then all the redeemed will be in the strength of their youth, being transferred back to the days of their youth. That's how we read it here in verse 25 very clearly. Listen what is still written. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. When the advocate is here, who obtained the atonement for you and for me by the shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Then he says to God, deliver the guilty one. He is redeemed. He is reconciled. He is free. And we pray then to God, and he is favorable unto us. And then it says, and he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. If someone gives me 100 Swiss francs back, then I have had these 100 Swiss francs at some point. There was a time span when the first man had the absolute holiness and righteousness and purity of God, namely before the fall. And then they were pulled into it. The enemy ruled over us. But then came the Lord. He didn't know out of his own experience how the fallen man feels, how helpless, how perplexed, without hope, he was abandoned to his fate. And some evangelist said, the way to hell is paved with good intentions. Every one of us can intend the best things. Can we carry it out? Do we have the possibility to keep up with everything? But now, since the Lord became man, and the Holy Scripture says that he has become equal to us in all things, he was tried, tempted, like all of us, in order to be a faithful high priest. Not to look from above down to us and to judge us. This he has done almost 4,000 years. But when the time was fulfilled, he, the Lord of glory, the King of kings, came into the flesh, has taken the curse upon himself, which God's law spoke upon us, and obtained an atonement through his divine blood on the cross of Calvary, and says to God, deliver him. I have found a ransom for him, for them. They shall not die. They shall live, because I died for them. Is this not something wonderful? The gospel of God, a good news. Hear it today and receive it. Your and my advocate, your and my mediator, our Redeemer, on the cross of Calvary, has accomplished this unique deed. We are reconciled with God. Our righteousness was given back to us. Therefore, Paul writes, we have been justified by faith. The justification by faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in whom our atonement and forgiveness took place. He prays to God, did you, precious heart, pray to God? He prays to God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. It took place. It is finished. It's not in the future, but on the cross of Calvary, all this was prepared for us. Now it says in verse 27, he looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not. God has delivered my soul from going into the pit, and my life shall see the light. As a German hymn goes, redeemed, and I may glorify it, redeemed by the blood of the Savior. Isaiah 53. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. If we want to summarize all this briefly, then we may say, the prophets of the Old Testament, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they already have seen the work of redemption. And as I said earlier, Job not only said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He saw him. He saw that he, as an advocate, as a mediator, would come on the scene, who would obtain atonement for fallen mankind, and who says, let the guilty ones be set free. Those abandoned to death, they shall live, for I have died for them. This makes us grateful. This humbles us into the dust. And we say, O Lord, what have you seen on me, on you, on us, which made you to come down and to take everything on yourself, what actually hit us? Beloved, let us still go into the New Testament. And before we do that, we read from Hosea chapter 13, two verses. Hosea 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Here, we are clearly said, from the power of the grave, I will redeem them. I ask you today, has he done it? Amen. To this I read from Matthew chapter 27, so that you see that all Old Testament saints who will have part in the first resurrection, they came forth with Christ. I read from Matthew 27, from verse 45. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So far this precious and holy word of God. In the Old Testament we have read, From death I should redeem them. From the grave I should deliver them. Satan, until the crucifixion, he had the power over hell and death. But in the moment when Jesus Christ was crucified, his body was laid into the grave. But it says in Peter, in the spirit, he descended into hell and preached there to the spirits. And then we read in Ephesians chapter 4, he who descended, it is him who also ascended above all heaven and took captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Do we believe this today with all our hearts, that he defeated the devil, death and hell? And not only that, but his victory is your and my victory. Did he not say in John 20, after his resurrection, I ascend to my God and to your God, to my Father and to your Father? Is it not written at the beginning of the last church age message addressed to the church of Laodicea? In Revelation 3, this saith he who is the Amen. And then is written the wonderful sentence, the beginning of the creation of God. In Christ, God began this new creation. And all of us, by the same word, by the same Spirit, by the blood of the Lamb, we are pardoned and brought unto a new life with God. All this are divine facts. If the Lord would not have risen, I would not stand here today. I would remain sitting. But because He has risen, because He is alive and manifests Himself to them who believe Him, therefore we also may rise with Him unto a new life. And we may say, Jesus is risen. He is alive. Don't seek the living among the dead. Where was He after the resurrection? No more with the spiritual dead. He said before, just a little while, and the world sees me no more, but ye shall see me. What was it? After His resurrection, He only revealed Himself to His own at this and that occasion. There to Mary, there the two, then to the apostles, and then 500 brothers at once, according to 1 Corinthians 15, probably verse 3 to 5. So, the Lord meets us individually. He meets us when we as two or three are gathered in His name. He meets us when we are in home cells observing His word and call upon His name. And He meets us when we are gathered, as it is the case today. Always, at every occasion, we can count with it that He meets us. I will redeem them from death. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. In the Old Testament, it was still in the future. In the New, it is divine reality. When He died on the cross and cried out, "It is finished," you know what happened. The sun was darkened. It became dark from the 6th to the 9th hour. A mighty earthquake took place. The rocks were rent. But something great happened in the plan of salvation. The graves were opened, and many of the saints came with Him after His resurrection, out of their graves. Before they could come forth from the graves with Him, they had to be delivered with Him from the power of the grave. One had to go down who could take away the power of death and who could meet the devil. He could have done it already in the Old Testament, in the spiritual body, but just understand, man did not fall as long as he was in the spiritual body in the image of God, but only after God created man out of the dust of the earth and had taken the woman out of the man. Only when the first man were in this body, they fell into sin. So, the Lord had to come into this body. in which we have fallen and had to pay the price in this body on the cross of Calvary. And then all who, of course, have sinned in this body since Adam, death confiscated them. He held them, except for the three who were taken up into glory. Enoch as the first one, the seventh after Adam, a perfect symbol to the last seventh church age, in which many will no more fall asleep, but they will be changed. And then, of course, Elijah. And if we can believe it, also Moses. Because Moses, together with Elijah, appeared to the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. All the others, death had them in his power. They were in paradise, yes, but they were down. No one could move. There, the enemy had to say so. In the moment when the Lord came down, the enemy had to submit that his rulership is over, that the Lord defeated him, and that he has taken all the power from him. And he could say, to me is given all power in heaven and on earth. I will redeem them from death. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. He has done it. I have found a ransom. He could say, they are free. They no longer need to remain here. They go now with me. And if the devil would have said they remain here, there was nothing to say. In the moment, he had nothing to say anymore. Because that what God has spoken has found now its final fulfillment in Jesus Christ our Lord. Dear heart, let us refer to ourselves at the end of this exposition. What good would it be for you and me if we would understand all this now? The Lord has complied with everything. He fulfilled everything. Every promise, every prophecy was fulfilled. Death, where's thy sting? Hell, where's thy victory? Everything swallowed up, and so forth. We see the Old Testament saints, and it is written on purpose, many, not all. Also in the Old Testament, there are these two groups, the called and the chosen. The chosen ones belong to the first resurrection, and all who are part of the first resurrection from the time span of the Old Testament, they came forth with Christ. The others have to wait. They are in paradise. But doctrinally, we cannot go into all these details. But what is really on my heart is the following: that we all today, out of conviction, can understand and believe that when the Lord God, through Jesus Christ, obtained atonement, and even hell, death, and the devil was destroyed, and that our Lord is the victor, the absolute victor. Why can we not believe with all our hearts that also our atonement, the forgiveness of our sins, the healing of our infirmities is such a divine reality as then when the graves opened and many of the saints came forth? Because in the prophet Hosea in chapter 13 it was written, I will ransom them from the power of the grave, and I will redeem them from death. He has done it, and they came forth. In the same way it is written, our chastisement was upon him, so that we might have peace, and by his stripes we were healed. Can we as well believe it? Then come forth. As the dead came forth from all sin, from all unbelief, come out today by faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. If this now was too loud, then forgive me. But I ask myself, was it loud enough? Did we all understand it in our hearts? And may we not ask ourselves, once again asking, what good is it to us if we know that through Calvary everything took place? Hell is defeated, death is conquered, the devil had to release everything. The Lord has accomplished it. If we would not know and would not receive it by faith, it happened for me. The Lord says, I have found a ransom for you. My blood was shed for you. For you I was stricken and smitten. By my wounds you are redeemed. Thy guilt is atoned. Your sin is forgiven. Receive it today from the hand of God, based upon the finished work of redemption, which happened on the cross of Calvary. And also you, from your condition, you will come out today. The graves were opened, the rocks rent. There, where the Lord manifests himself as the risen one, there that what happened on Calvary comes into force. It gets a divine validity in your and in my life. Many celebrate Good Friday. They celebrate Easter. We are not here to celebrate these days. We are here to receive according to the plan of salvation and to experience what God has prepared for us in Jesus Christ our Lord. One among thousand went to the cross. One has found the ransom. One redeemed us, defeated death, conquered hell, sickness and sin he took upon himself. Today is your day with Jesus Christ, your Lord. Receive it by faith chains are broken, the graves open, and I can assure you, out of the graves, also of the spiritual graves, no dead come forth, but the living. All who came out then, they could walk, they were marching into the holy city and appeared to many. A man who comes forth unto a new life with God, he doesn't walk to Jericho, he doesn't walk to Sodom, he goes into the holy city. And this means for us, there where the Lord reveals himself and where the people of God come together to hear his word. Dear heart, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Death, where's your sting? Hell, where's thy victory? Sickness, sin, and whatever it might be, everything has lost its right with us. Every ban, every curse, every sin of witchcraft, every superstition, and whatever it might be, we are redeemed, reconciled with God. We have become children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. His blood speaks for us. It speaks better than the blood of Abel. Praise and honor, glory and worship be unto our Lord. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for you and for me today, on Good Friday, summarized with Easter. Atonement, forgiveness, grace, salvation, and a new life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us today come out from the old into something new by the grace of our God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let us stand up for prayer. We come to the Lord as we are, but no one goes from him as he has come to him. He who comes to him, him he does not cast out. He has mercy on him and points to the shed blood, which did not get lost in the sand. It is written in Hebrews that he, with his own blood, he entered the Holy of Holies, the blood of reconciliation is on the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory be unto our God. Should today somebody be in our midst who did not yet experience this reconciliation, this salvation, this grace, precious heart, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. God's word is fulfilled in us, just as it was fulfilled with the dead who were down in hell or wherever. God's word has the power of God in itself. The word of the cross has everything what happened on the cross for us in itself, to make a divine reality out of it. Together we come today, and the Lord receives us by His grace. We sing once again, "Just as I am." Heavenly Father, You know in which heart Your Spirit could work. Lord, how nice it would be if by this sermon souls get saved and enter glory. Today, You said unto us that You were the one who, as a mediator, as an advocate, as the Redeemer, has found the ransom, bringing it to us. You gave us back the righteousness which we had before God. You said, "Deliver them." Hallelujah. Lord, how wonderful are You. I ask You with all my brothers and sisters, for all who today receive faith from this sermon and who come to You, faithful Lord, may the word of the cross today become the power of God. Save the lost. Heal the sick. Deliver the captives. Loose all on whom Satan has still a right. You redeemed us from death. From hell You delivered us. Lord, from sin You have taken us out. We believe today in a perfect, complete, total redemption through Jesus Christ our Lord, after spirit, soul, and body. O Satan, let the people of God go. They are free through the blood of the Lamb, fully reconciled, redeemed, pardoned and justified by God. Satan, take off your dirty hands from the people of God. In Jesus' holy name, they are under the reconciliation. Atonement was obtained for them. And should you accuse them, then the advocate is here and says, "My blood speaks for them." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. O God, by faith we receive it in this hour, that it is no more prophecy, but through Calvary it became a divine reality here on this earth. And this, all of hell and the devil has to take note of, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The people of God are set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. praise and honor be unto our God. Hallelujah. Can you all believe it? Receive it. It is the gift of God. Hallelujah. Perhaps some brothers want to thank briefly. Faithful God, we are dealing with you, the eternal reality. Lord, what we looked at today and even more is a reality. When you died on Calvary, the devil, death and hell felt it. Darkness set in. Chains were broken. Rocks were rent. Graves were opened. And to hell, and to the devil, and to death, the end was made. Lord, these were not only words, for you descended. You cleaned up with everything. Everything in the right place, relegated to the necessary limits. And you rose on the third day from the dead. We have not made a fool of ourselves when we believe in you, but we have been saved. And for this I thank you. To us was given salvation, divine salvation. We have been pardoned. I thank you for it. Faithful Lord, may this day be the breakthrough that we stop brooding with accusing, where we stop making own efforts, so that you can start today with us. You have accomplished the redemption. Worship and honor be to your wonderful and holy name. Lord, I cannot do otherwise but to cry out on this place, thy people are free based upon the shed blood. We are reconciled, and Satan has lost his right on us. May every promise in our lives become a divine reality. Praise, honor, and glory and worship be unto you from eternity to eternity. Amen.